Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and Chris, you're dancing a little bit. Why are you dancing?
I'm just in a good mood, Jonathan. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Glad that you're here.
Thank you, I'm feeling good.
We also have Carmella in studio today.
Hello.
Hello, Carmella. How are you?
Good, how are you?
It's wonderful to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
The first lady of Trivial Warfare, back and better than ever.
That's right, and today we have a special guest. We have Kate Suddy. Kate, how are you today?
I'm great. Hello from Iowa.
Hello from Jacksonville. Good to see you. Now, Kate, you're a warhead, and you reached out to me, and you said, so I'm a lieutenant officially, but I really was in the military. Does that count for anything? And I said, abso-freaking-lutely, yes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, Kate?
So I went to the Air Force Academy, and I was 4.5 years active duty in the U.S. Air Force. I'm still in the Guard, so I am technically Captain Kate Suddy.
So wait, you're a captain and a lieutenant?
She is. She's the one person in the world who's both a captain and lieutenant at the same time.
Ding.
Well, you know what lieutenants are good for, right?
I'm going to guess getting the coffee.
Getting snacks.
I was close. So what did you do for the Air Force, Kate?
I was a public affairs officer. So it's like a public relations with government relations and stuff thrown in.
Okay. And you were telling us about an interesting place you worked before we started the show.
So I worked a lot of really interesting places. I worked in Florida at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, home of military space launch, which is awesome. So I worked technically for Air Force Space Command, both there and then in Colorado Springs at their headquarters.
So I have to relate this to something I'm familiar with, right?
Yes.
So essentially, you're in public relations at Space Command. You're like the media person on The Martian who's telling people that they have to tell people about the guy who's trapped on Mars. Was that your job? Was that you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
I really liked that book, and I liked that character a lot.
Okay, my question is, did you use as much flowery language as she did?
Well, it is military, so our language can get crass.
Blue. Fair enough.
Well, Kate, we're really glad that you're here today. All right, we are going to go ahead and get started. And Chris, I'm assuming you brought the questions.
I brought the questions.
So it is time to warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to. Warm it up, Chris. This is what I was born to do. Okay.
That was bad.
Yeah, well. Warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. Warm it up, Chris. That's what I was born to do. You didn't hire me for my singing abilities.
Or actually, your dancing.
You didn't hire me. Yes, that's right. You didn't hire me at all.
It was a bribe. It wasn't a hire.
All right. Here's something cool for you guys. This is a listener-submitted question brought to you by our buddy John Finn.
John Finn.
I cannot remember if John Finn's a TWA member or not.
Absolutely.
But, all right. Good deal. But thank you, John, for this question. John, just like Carmel and Jonathan to a short extent, Kate, I'm not sure if you are, is a huge comic book nerd. And so he says, comic book movies of all time, as of May 2016, according to Newsarama. Now, Newsarama, if you don't know, is a huge comic book website. And what they did was they ranked all the top superhero comic book movies as of May 2016.
So how many do you want us to name?
I have the top 10.
You have the top 10.
I have the top 10.
Superhero movies of all time.
Yes.
According to Newsarama.
According to Newsarama. So it's not based on money or anything like that. It's a poll of what they thought was the best of the best.
All right. How do you want to do it?
Let's see. I think we're going to go in round robin to see until there's one person standing. So we'll do it Highlander style. There can only be one.
Okay.
And Kate, how about I start with you?
Okay. I'm going to go with Avengers 1.
Avengers 1 is number 2 with a bullet, so that is absolutely correct. Carmella.
I've never heard number two with a bullet. That's new.
Ba-dum-bum.
Somebody was shooting. I hear the dog, by the way. When you were talking, he's like, arr, arr, arr.
She's running around. You can say hi. He's like,
hi.
Hi, doggy.
Oh, she's adorable.
Oh, she is beautiful.
She's like, who are these people?
Guardians I'm mad because I'm writing on paper and not petting her.
She can hear our voices, too, I guarantee.
How
from
dare
headphones.
You write on paper?
Yes.
All right, Carmella, you're up next.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy is number six on the list. Well done.
All right.
I got scared for a second.
I know. I'm kind of stressed
no,
myself.
I knew it was there. I just couldn't find it.
I'm going to go with the original Superman, number one.
Nicely done, Jonathan. Number five.
Yes. Christopher Reeve, the first time anybody saw a man fly.
So we got number two, number five, and number six going into the round two of this. So, Kate, you're up next.
Captain America.
I need you to be more specific, please.
Oh, let's just go with Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, number four on the list.
Really?
Great job. Yep.
What?
So, there's so many more people that liked it a lot more than you did,
Mister. It's a good movie, but number four of all the superhero movies?
I completely agree. Actually, I ranked it higher personally for me.
Nuts.
So.
Nuts.
All right, Carmella, what do you got?
The Dark Knight.
Actually, what they did was they lumped the whole Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy into one, and that is number one.
I was about to say, that should be number one.
Yes.
So that was kind of weird that they did that, though. Okay.
Well, fair enough. But so number
one. Like, we can't pull them apart.
All right. So, Jonathan, you're up.
I'm going to go with Iron Man 1.
Iron Man number 3. Well done, sir. So we've got number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, and number 6.
Oh, we've
so
done the missing, order.
So we're missing 7, 8, 9, and 10. Kate, it's on to you.
I mean, the one I'm thinking of no one liked, so I don't want to say it.
Well, you could talk it out. It's okay, but then just give us a final answer.
Well, I was going to say Spider-Man, but everyone hated all the Spider-Man movies. They were terrible. Let's go with, I don't think we've done a Thor movie yet, so how about the first Thor?
Kate, I'm sorry you are out.
Oh, don't right. be Thor.
Okay. Oh, wow. That ain't right. All right. Carmella. Wow. That is so bad. Poor Kate. She had to suffer through that bad joke also.
I'm sorry, Kate.
Oh, well.
Watchmen.
I'm sorry, Carmella. You are out. So, Jonathan, for the win,
I would go with
number 7, 8, 9, or 10?
I would go with the first Spider-Man by Sam Raimi.
Congratulations, Jonathan. You are out.
What?
That is not on the list.
Wait, we got to keep going.
The Andrew yes. Garfield one?
Okay.
No, I wasn't going with that one. I was right. saying, wait, so, hold on. So, you know I wasn't talking about Andrew Garfield, right?
No. You're talking about
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. Didn't you say Sam Raimi?
Yes.
Yeah. No. That's
okay. Well, she
one.
Said
yeah.
Andrew Garfield. I was
no,
like,
no,
that's
no.
not
that
what
was
I
Mark,
meant.
Yeah. That was Mark Webb that directed
okay,
that.
Okay. So we got to keep going then.
Yep. So Kate, you're up.
Oh, man.
You're back in it.
Iron Man 2.
No.
Iron Man 2, no. not on the list.
No way.
All right. So, Carmella, can you knock Kate out of this contest?
Is it The Amazing Spider-Man, the one that Andrew Garfield was in?
Not on the okay. list. All right. So, Jonathan, can you knock the girls out?
Well, no, I don't do that. That would be inappropriate.
Yes, I just...
Do I look like Chris Brown over here?
Oh, no.
So there's obviously a bias towards the newer stuff on the list here. So I'm torn between but there's classics and then there's the new Avengery type of stuff. So it's either going to be Captain America Civil War or the original Tim Burton Batman. I bet they're both on there. I'm going to go with Captain America Civil War.
Number 9 on the list, Jonathan wins the round.
And is Batman on there?
Number 7 on the list.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 1, the Batman Trilogy, 2, the Avengers, 3, Iron Man, 4, Winter Soldier, 5, Superman the Movie, 6, Guardians of the Galaxy, 7, Tim Burton's Batman, number 8, Spider-Man 2, which was the one Doc Ock was in, which was...
That was better than the first
one. That was considered to be the best of the Spider-Man movies.
I agree.
And it was an amazing movie.
I forgot that was better, but it was.
Number 9, Captain America Civil War, number 10, say it with me, Deadpool.
Oh!
May 2016
nice.
Was as of May 2016.
Oh, I didn't even think about the year.
I'm a Deadpool fan.
Yeah.
So. You
glad
know
that made the list because it was a really good movie.
Agreed. I should have definitely thought of Spider-Man 2. I remember when I saw it, I thought, this is the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
when it first came out, I liked it better, obviously, than the older Batman and Superman stuff. And at the time, I think it was the best. Yeah. Iron Man hadn't come out yet.
And I think it's the best Spider-Man movie that came out
easily,
of the five.
So. Easily.
All right.
Kind of upset Spider-Man was even on the list, though.
Oh, even the one with Dr. Octopus? That one was pretty good.
I loved that movie. I saw it three times in the theater.
I loved the TV show as a kid. And so I think it's okay. It's just not the same.
I'm sorry, Spider-Man. Kate, you lost credibility on that one.
Goes away for a spider-kin. Okay. Well, I think it's time to get the game started. All right. So, Christopher.
Yes.
You are the host. It is Carmella and Kate versus Jonathan. And you're asking the questions, my friend. It is time to start the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started.
Question 1 in round 1, everybody. The category is sports.
Sports.
When turned upside down, which NBA team logo features a robot sitting on a park bench reading?
What?
Yes.
What?
I noticed this and I verified it and it's awesome.
And this is a real thing other people have noticed?
This is a real deal, yes. There's actually blogs talked about it. There's an article in the city's newspaper that talks about it.
I'm glad you started with an easy question first.
Actually, I started off with what I thought was the funniest question first.
You did accomplish that.
So again, when turned upside down, which NBA team logo features a robot sitting on a park bench reading?
It features really more like resembles.
It's pretty scary. It's
so they did it on purpose?
It looks like they did. Now this NBA team, as I was reading the article about it, has not officially said that that's what they're trying to do.
Let's say it resembles then.
Okay. We'll say it resembles then.
Yes.
Okay.
I love basketball. I hate professional basketball.
Oh, wow.
Do you like Olympic basketball?
Well, they're all pros, so not really. I love college basketball.
There you go. What team is yours?
I'm from Iowa, so I'm a Hawkeye fan. I'm a Cyclone fan. In basketball, my allegiances are state and not tied to any particular university.
Understood.
This is going to take a minute for sure.
Okay.
I've never heard this bit of trivia. So I'm trying to visualize the logos.
And actually, I'm going to get my phone out so I can show you the picture of it afterwards.
Okay. All right, let me try and use some logic here. It resembles a robot sitting on a park bench reading what?
Just reading.
Reading.
Yes.
I'm going to write down a terrible answer.
Okay. In my head, Ben's going, oh, oh.
I guarantee you, Ben doesn't know the answer to this.
Oh, challenge extended.
All right, I've written down my answer.
So, Kate, I have no idea.
Oh, I've tried to do a little doodle of what I think it would look like. Like, I'm trying to draw, like, a park bench and, like, some boxy thing sitting on it with a book, and I can't. Like, I cannot picture. I'm trying to find something that looks like it would have, like, legs sticking up. And, like, the only thing I could think of was, like, maybe Golden State, but I have no idea.
You know, the Chicago Bulls that has the horns sticking up, maybe those could be legs?
Yeah, I guess, like, the nostrils could look like eyes. You want to try that?
Yeah, that's about as good as I've got. All right, so we're going to say Chicago Bulls.
Final answer?
Yes.
Okay, Jonathan.
So I actually thought of the Bulls, too, for that very reason. But I felt like it might be a profile. I didn't think it'd be head-on. So I was looking for something that if you turned it upside down, it was looking like sideways on. I ended up going with the Spurs. I know that the Spurs, I feel like it's two things sticking up and the spur kind of drips down off the bottom. So I figured if you turn that over, it might look like a bench, perhaps. So I said the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited. Somebody did get the right answer. And the answer is the Chicago Bulls.
Ah.
Yay!
Ah.
Yep. Oh,
he looks
man.
Angry.
Let's see
really
this
sad.
Thing. So Chris is walking the Bulls logo over to us. Oh, my God.
Oh, it really does. Holy crap.
He looks like he's reading like a really sad book.
It's not like some generic now. Robot either. It's like a robot with personality. Wow.
From the movie with Alan Rickman, where he was the sad robot.
Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide
to the Galaxy.
Yeah, very much.
All right.
Well, now, I should have stuck with the Bulls. I was waffling between those two.
Okay. So, excellent.
I didn't realize it would look like that, though. I mean, that's really, that's intensely clear.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
So, the most happy guy in the room right now is this guy because somebody got it right. So, because I was afraid that he was going to stomp you guys. So, that's good. So, all right, guys. Question two in round one. The category is hodgepodge.
Grab bag.
Potpourri.
Miscellaneous. Miscellaneous.
<There you go. laughs> Okay. So, what public place's full name is the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow?
Say it one more time for me.
Yes, ma'am. What public place's...
I'm locked in.
Oh, you're locked in too?
You want to go 3, 2, 1, Kate?
Yes. 3, 2, 1, Epcot.
Correct.
It's easier
when
they
count. That's what I
wrote down. Yes. It was an acronym.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I lived in Florida, I had an annual pass to Disney World, and I often drank my way around the world.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
as
that's
most
a
people do when they go to Epcot.
Idea.
Well, I was reading it. Actually, we're prepping to go to Disney in November, and I read that it was spelled out, and I was like, I love this as a question. This is great.
November's a great time to go to Disney, too, with the heat kind of lower.
So question three in round one is in the category of science.
Science. You're not supposed to do it if you're the one saying the word, by the way.
Okay, fine. Category is science.
Science.
What is the chemical name for water?
I'm locked in.
Hey, Kate, I'm pretty sure it's dihydrogen monoxide.
Yes, I love the internet trolls that try and troll all the natural groups about the dangers of dihydrogen monoxide.
So, dihydrogen monoxide.
All right. Jonathan?
Oh, I just went with H2O.
The answer is dihydrogen monoxide.
Wouldn't have gotten it anyway, so I don't feel bad, but I didn't realize you were looking for words instead of letters and numbers.
Mm. Well, that would have been the element name, elemental name. I was asking for the chemical name.
Are we sure that's not the chemical name? I mean, I know that there's a word that
there are words for it. It's the chemical composition of it.
Yeah.
But it's not that's not the name of it.
Okay.
It would be pronounced dihydrogen monoxide.
Okay. Well,
so you're saying I spelled the answer instead of said the words?
Correct.
Okay. You know what?
I wouldn't give credit for it.
Okay.
It is an odd question though.
Okay. Well, again, just there was an article I was reading about the internet trolls, exactly what Kate was saying. I was just like, "Oh, that's a fabulous question." So,
it's a meme of pseudoscience, right? So there's all these people that are like talking about how terrible all these chemicals are in different things. And so they'll put up a meme that has bleach and juice right next to each other. And it'll say, both of these products contain dihydrogen monoxide. Why would you let your children drink the same products that are in bleach?
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny, though, because people fall for it.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so score check after round one, Jonathan.
After round one, the ladies have 30. Jonathan has 10.
All right. So round two, question one. The category is in inventions.
Inventions. All right.
What is the greatest thing that Otto Rohwedder invented? What is the greatest thing that Otto Rohwedder invented?
Could you spell Rohwedder?
Yeah. Rohwedder.
Gonna need you to do that more slowly.
I'm sorry. Rohwedder.
And now can you define greatest?
Let me just put it to you this way. I put greatest thing in quotation marks, and that's the closest I will give to you on that one.
All right. Read the whole thing again?
Yes, sir. What is the greatest thing that Otto Rohwedder invented?
I feel like I've been meditating because my mind is a complete blank.
Oh, dear.
I hope you have something, Carmela, because I have no idea who this person is.
Okay. So at least we're all in the same ballpark. I'm not slowing anybody down.
No, no. God, Jonathan, don't you know the answer?
I'm serious. Well, me and the Rowetter family, we go way back.
You look it up in history books, Rowetter, there's the Oaks tree right there.
The clue is obviously the word greatest. So I'm looking for things with greatest in them, and I'm getting nothing.
I have an answer, Kate. I'm pretty sure it's not right, but it's funny.
Do you want to lock in with that wrong answer?
Are you okay with that? I mean, I have no idea, but...
You go for it.
All right, locked in.
Okay, so... His name's Otto Rowetter.
Yes.
So Otto is typically a German name.
Yeah.
He did not invent David Hasselhoff, just to let you know.
So I'm over in Germany... And Rowetter.
Can you bring me back a beer, please?
Rowetter. I mean, I would think maybe you could shorten the name or something like that. But I don't see any shortenings there. It feels like when Chris said that greatest was in quotation marks, that could be ironic. It could either be that the word greatest is in the product. Or it's ironic, meaning he claimed it was great, but it wasn't great, you know? Got nothing. I have no idea. I am going to say he invented WD-40.
Okay. Carmela.
So based on greatest, I said cheese grater.
That's what I wrote down.
Oh, nice.
Are you serious?
Okay. See, we're connected on a level. There you go.
So if I said that, wow, Jonathan, that shirt is the greatest thing since, what would you say?
Sliced bread.
He created a bread slicing machine for commercial use. The answer is sliced bread.
Oh, the puns in this joke.
I was really trying to give you guys a heavy clue on that. And it failed miserably.
Yeah, it got a little heavier.
I'm sorry. That's I begrudgingly take my 10 points for that question.
Quit loafing on that question.
Oh, no.
This is a bit stale.
Oh, no. You're a big heel.
I am, though.
You're really the butt of that joke.
Yeah. Any more?
I don't know. Give me time.
It's pretty crummy, what you just did.
I mean, that joke was lower crust.
It's for the birds.
You know what else is for the birds?
My face.
Yep.
Ah, your face jokes. They never get old.
They don't. Just like Batman's parents.
Please keep that in the show.
Oh, I just got lightheaded. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
No, you didn't
Air
not
five.
Just make that joke.
Air five. Oh, that was so good.
I'm going to hell.
For fictional characters?
Yes.
No, for other reasons, but that's one of them.
Fictional hell you're going to?
Just read a little comic on Facebook that was... The Joker was like, what has holes and walks down an alley? And Batman went, my parents. And the Joker went, oh my God, no, a bowling ball.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's right. You're here for the trivia, stay for the jokes.
And the first jokes that have been funny have come from Carmela and Kate. Let's just say that.
True story. Okay. So your round two, question two category is in current events.
Okay, current events.
Okay. The Olympics are currently in Rio de Janeiro. What number is the 2016 edition Summer Olympics that is going on right now?
What number?
That's correct.
So
the very first Olympics would be Olympics number one or the first Olympics.
Modern times?
That's correct. If you watch the Olympics at all, they have said that number a buttload.
How much is a buttload exactly?
It depends on the butt.
Actually, it's a real measurement.
Really? It is.
It's,
yeah.
It's a wine measurement, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right.
I know lots of things about wine.
Mmm.
Wine. Oh, we had to figure out what number Olympics we're on, right?
The question is the what number is the current 26th edition of the Summer Olympics?
I don't know the answer, but I've used my logic and I've locked in my number.
Okay.
All right. So I know we've had four since the year 2000. I know the first one was in 1896, and I know there's a couple that got skipped during the 1900s. So I don't know if you actually have been watching and heard them say the actual number, maybe?
I have been watching, and I know I've heard it a million times. For some reason, 37 is sticking in my head. Like, this is the 37th Olympiad, I think is what I've heard.
Okay.
Over and over, but I can't actually access it in my brain and remember hearing it, but that's just kind of what's sticking.
Well, let's see here. They're every 4 years. That means you would have a max of 25 of them in the 1900s, but I know they skipped at least two. So, and there's been four since the year 2000.
Maybe it's 27th?
Might be. No, that still seems too low, though. But you've heard 37th, though?
I feel like I have. That's the only number that jumped out at me.
I'm okay with that. It's better than what I got. Because I don't know how many got skipped because of the wars.
Dang it, war.
Yeah.
Darn you,
what is
war.
It good for?
Apparently, a technological advances after World War II.
She's got
alive.
You there.
I thought the answer was absolutely nothing.
Whoa, say it again.
You did that out of order.
I know. I'm okay with saying 37 if you are.
That's the only thing I can think of.
All right, so we're going to say 37.
Okay. Jonathan.
So I just tried to math this out, right?
Sure.
They're between... So you had... If let me just explain how I do math.
This may take a while.
I know. If you start counting with 1904 and get to 2000, then that would be 25. You add one for 1900, you add one for 1896, and then, like you said, there's been four, so I came up with 31 total, and then you have to reduce the ones that we didn't have because of war. I figured 1916 we wouldn't have had because of World War I, and I figured 1940 and 1944 we wouldn't have had because of World War II. So I ended up with 31 minus 3 and ended up with 28.
Okay. And the answer is we are currently on the 31st Olympiad. 31.
Son of a gun. So how?
I'll actually have to...
Were there any that were skipped?
I think there was one that was skipped. I think it was the 1940 Olympics was... I mean, no, the 1944 Olympics were skipped.
You know, they may not have been skipped for everyone. It may have just been skipped for the people who didn't actually attend.
Yeah.
So, still, though,
I could double check it. The only reason I have this this question is because of how many times they said it on NBC. I'll be honest with you; I probably should have done a little more research on this particular question.
Just mathematically, I don't see how that's possible because even if you mathematically, if you do it every 4 years and you start in 96, then this would be the 31st. But we skipped one.
I guess the one question I need to find out is was it every 4 years from the beginning or not?
Thought it was.
The modern Olympics began in 1896. There have been 28. Please note that the International Olympic Committee has officially declared the 2016 Summer Olympics to be the 31st Olympiad, despite three summer editions being canceled.
So, my answer was correct. There has been 28. They have made up three for the sake of pretending that they never canceled any.
He did say 28.
I cut out the three that didn't happen.
Okay, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you the points on that.
Well, yeah.
Well, however, if you're going by what NBC is saying, technically
NBC's full of
No, they're not. They're going by what the Olympics tells you.
No, but
what
no,
the
that's,
Olympics tells them.
That's, it's the International Olympic Committee that says
because,
it's the
yeah, they're what, full no, of crap.
I said, what number is the 2016 edition of the Summer Olympics? And they're saying it's the 31st. So technically,
but they're making up a number.
Oh, good Lord. They're not. That's what they're saying it is, dude.
That is, I don't even understand
you're arguing,
how you're
and I said I'm giving you the points.
I know,
you
but
you should just say thank you and move on.
I don't even feel like they shouldn't be able to claim it's the 31st is what I'm saying. That's BS to begin with.
You're arguing when I said I'm giving you the points. So your argument is futile.
I just want you to agree with me that they're stupid, Chris.
They're not stupid. They're just the way it is.
All right, fine.
Oh, dear God.
We'll agree to disagree. NBC, right. You guys are stupid. And Olympic Committee, you guys are idiots.
That's okay. You could say the Olympic Committee.
No, NBC is stupid for going along with it.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, may I ask the next question, please?
Please.
I've facepalmed myself so many times today. All right.
How many times did you do it before you got here?
Actually, quite a few. So.
Well, don't blame me for that.
Oh, I'm blaming you for the last four. All right. So, everybody, your question three and round two question is in geography, also known as geography. And your question is, what state's name has only one syllable? What state's name has only one syllable?
Locked in.
Okay. So, ladies, you can talk about it.
It's Maine, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Maine.
Okay. Can't debate Maine. It's only got one syllable.
Maine is the correct answer.
Woohoo!
Well done, ladies.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I said it right, yeah.
All right. Going into round three, score is 40 to 30.
Who's up, Jonathan?
The ladies are still up.
All right. So your question one in round three is in history.
Okay.
In what country was the Battle of Waterloo fought in?
I am locked in.
I'm pretty sure it's France.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
All I can think of is the ABBA song.
Waterloo. So France?
Yeah, let's go with France.
France.
My boss is from this country, my new boss, mm-hmm. from Belgium.
The correct answer is Belgium.
Aw.
Basically France.
Pretty much.
Oh,
poor Belgium.
No, and specifically, let's go ahead and give Belgium a shout out for what they did in World War II. They were the first wave that Germany went through, and they fought their hearts out. So I respect Belgium.
And thank you for your waffles.
Overrun multiple times.
Yes, but the defense on the initial assault was incredible.
Yeah, and they've had kind of a rough year, so I guess maybe they're not almost France.
Plus, my boss is from Belgium. Did I mention that? Love Belgium. They're awesome.
They've got good beer.
Their judo medalist in these Olympics got beat up by a receptionist.
Yes.
And got a black eye, ended up taking a picture with his medal with a black eye.
Wow.
So the receptionists in Brazil know jiu-jitsu, apparently.
Wow.
So there was a drunken incident, and he got his butt kicked.
That's awesome. Okay. You ready for the next question?
I am.
All right. So question two in round three, the category is moonwalking is not just a dance.
Sure it is.
Your question is, within two, how many men have walked on the moon's surface?
Cause this is Thriller. Thriller night.
I had fun with that question category, by the way.
All right. I've locked in.
All right. Okay. So I was sitting over here doing some math. Apollo 11 was the first one to set on the moon, right?
Yes, I believe that was Armstrong.
Yeah. So, and it ran through Apollo 17. Mm-hmm. And there's three guys in the capsule for each mission. So 3 times 7 is 21 minus Apollo 13, which didn't actually make it. So that would have dropped it down to 18. And I know at least a couple guys went back more than once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think we're looking at closer to 14.
So,
although I feel like there's always a third guy who stays in the capsule. I don't feel like they're always there's. It's not always like there's three guys, but there's only two out at any given time.
Yeah, but doesn't mean that you know that one guy has stayed in the whole time.
Right,
they probably rotate out.
I would hope they'd do that.
So if we're going through within two, I know the upper limit is 18 because that's the most. If we go 16, that'll take us down to we'll have a range from 14 to 18.
I'm comfortable with that.
So we want to say 16?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we're going to say 16.
Okay, Jonathan?
I tried to do the same math, but I thought it only went up to 16, not 17, so that hurts me. I think there were a couple of guys that did it multiple times, and I eliminated the third guy on all of them because I didn't think that I think the first guy with Armstrong and Aldrin was Chris Collins or somebody like that.
Michael
Collins. And I don't believe he ever walked on the moon. So I figured that none of them did. So I went with 9.
Okay. And the answer is 12.
Oh, so we're both wrong.
So 10 to 14 is correct. It was Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Pete Conrad, Alan Bean, Alan Shepard, Edgar Mitchell, David Scott, James Irwin,
Gene Cernan,
James Young Watts, Charles Duke, Jack Schmidt, and Gene Cernan.
Actual name is Eugene Cernan, by the way.
That is correct.
Yes.
But he goes by Gene.
Does he?
Yes. At least that's what the documentary did that I saw.
Gotcha.
All
right. My middle name's Eugene.
Oh, nice.
That's why I pointed that out.
Fair enough.
Give the man credit for his name.
That makes me sad in my heart.
We split the difference, too.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say I got closer than the two space girls here, so I should get like an extra point for that.
No, nobody gives you a point for your ego.
Wow.
I give myself a point for my ego.
Narcissist.
Okay. So your third question in the third round is in movies.
Is it a movie about space?
It is not.
Oh, good.
Actually, yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
This English-born actor who voiced many Muppet characters also provided the voice of Yoda in the Star Wars movies. Name him.
I'm locked in.
Okay. Ladies?
Pretty sure it was Frank Oz.
I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
What?
Oh.
Mind blown.
Oh. It's not my fandom, guys. It's just not my fandom.
But you never even tried them.
I've probably seen bits and pieces over the years, but I've never seen a whole one.
You know, that's not the worst thing I've heard today. I was listening to somebody else's show, and they said that they hated Monty Python, and they didn't like The Princess Bride either.
What?
And I said, now wait, so not seeing Star Wars is one thing, but seeing The Princess Bride and saying you don't like it, that's unacceptable.
It really kind of is. Were they just born evil?
Isn't that right?
I mean, that's basically just hating joy.
There you go. I love that.
Oh, you can't talk. You haven't seen any of the Star Wars movies.
You should battle to the pain. Oh,
but I love Monty Python and The Princess Bride.
Well, there you go. I'll give you credit for that then.
So, okay. I guess it's up to me then. So I'm going to say Frank Oz.
Okay. Jonathan?
I said Frank Oz.
The answer is Frank Oz. Oh, correct. All right, Jonathan, so we're going into the midpoint question. So what's the scores?
Going into the midpoint, tie game, 50 to 50.
All right. So in your midpoint category, ladies and gentlemen, is television.
Television.
Television is. So this midpoint question is a listener-submitted one, and it's from David and Bean.
David right. and Bean. Thank yes. you so much for the question.
Okay. So I'm going to give you 5 TV shows hangout spots. And you need to give me the TV show that spot was shown on.
Oh, I love it. 4 points each.
All right. They're 4 points each. The first one is The Peach Pit. The second one is The Bronze. The third is McLaren's. The fourth is The Drunken Clam. And finally, The Boar's Nest. It's The Peach Pit, The Bronze, McLaren's, The Drunken Clam, and The Boar's Nest. Good luck.
Kate, I know 3 of these. I'm hoping you know the other 2.
I know 2 of them, so hopefully they're the 2 you don't know.
I hope so.
I would be so jealous if you guys had it that tightly figured out.
That would be so awesome. Jonathan, are you close?
I've got 3 of them working on the other 2.
Cool. Would you like some of their answers?
I wish I had somebody else who was like, I know 2 of them. That's the why I said I was jealous.
He's jelly.
Wait, Jonathan wishes he had someone on his team?
Well played.
I don't hate on having people on my team. I would love to have people on my team.
You never have people on your team.
That's not true. I've been on his team. It was awful. It was only awful because we know the same things.
Yeah, I don't feel like that was my fault. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, so right. Ladies.
So the 3 I know are Peach Pit is 90210. McLaren's is How I Met Your Mother, and The Drunken Clam is Family Guy. So I'm hoping you know the other 2.
Nope, I knew The Peach Pit and McLaren's.
Oh, crap. I'm trying to think, what was The Bronze? Like, what would be called The Bronze?
Boar's Nest. Do boars have nests? Does that even make sense?
I have no clue.
Good question.
I'm trying to remember the coffee shop in Friends, but I don't think it's either one of those.
Central Perk.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of more shows that were like have groups of friends so that there's hangouts.
Boar's Nest sounds like it's like something in like medieval England. Let's go to the Bowl's Nest.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Sitcom.
Dude, I would so watch that show.
I think a lot of people would.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Carmela, what about like Melrose Place? Would that be like the Bronze?
It's pretentious enough. Melrose okay. Place? I like that for the Bronze. We can write that down. Melrose Place. Still have no idea about the Boar's Nest.
I know, and I'm trying to think of like in Grey's Anatomy, they go to the bar across the street, but I think it's called Jimmy's. Gilmore Girls was Luke's.
I have no idea for Boar's Nest. Like, just none.
Either.
I know we're going to get three, and I'm okay with that. Just go with the four we've got?
I think so.
Okay, so we're going to say Peach Pit is 90210, the Bronze is Melrose Place, McLaren's is How I Met Your Mother, and Drunken Clam is Family Guy.
Okay, and no answer for Boar's Nest?
Nothing for Boar's Nest.
Okay, Jonathan.
I wonder if one of these is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now that you guys have been talking, that's one that I might have put down if I had thought longer. I had no idea with some of these. I did know 90210. So I said the Peach Pit was Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay.
I guessed Melrose Place for both the Bronze and whatever the third one was.
McLaren's. Okay.
Because I wasn't sure, but I figured that they hung out somewhere.
Sure.
I said SpongeBob SquarePants for the Drunken Clam. And as soon as she said Family Guy, I was like, oh, son of a gun.
That's the most messed up SpongeBob thing
is
ever.
Is it possible that SpongeBob is also at the Drunken Clam?
No, they hang out at Krabby Patty place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Boar's Nest is the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
Oh, I would have known that.
So, that's where Daisy Dukes worked.
So I'm now almost positive that the Bronze was Buffy.
Okay, so the Peach Pit is Beverly Hills 90210. The Bronze, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I thought of it a second, like a minute too late. As soon as you guys started talking, I'm like, crap, Buffy.
Yep.
Darn it.
McLaren's, How I Met Your Mother, The Drunken Clam, Family Guy, and The Boar's Nest is the Dukes of Hazzard. So ladies, you got three. Jonathan, you got two.
Pulling ahead.
As long as I got more than Jonathan.
You did. So now it's 62 to 58 going into the second half of the game.
All right.
Are you going to be able to keep up with that math later?
I hope.
Just, you might want to write it down and keep track of it just to be on the safe side.
All right, guys. Before we go into the second half, I want to talk to you a little bit about Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate. This is the month of September, and that means there's a new Loot Crate box ready for you. Remember, if you like cool gear for geeks and nerds and all kinds of other cool people, remember, Loot Crate is your place to go. They have collectibles and some really unique items, which is awesome. Remember, you could get a bigger box with Loot Crate DX, or you could do Loot Wear, which used to be the Level Up box. The Level Up box has had a name change. They are now Loot Wear, and that's a subscription just for specific wearables and accessories. This month in September, the theme is speed. That's right, speed. So this month's Loot Crate, the September Loot Crate, is going to have cool stuff from Batman, the CW's The Flash and Arrow, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, and everybody's favorite cheesy movie, Gone in 60 Seconds. So if you like that kind of stuff and you want to get in on the speed boxes, be sure to check it out. Also, if you're a Lootwear subscriber, this month's socks are Sonic the Hedgehog socks, a Transformers wearable, and a Mario Kart t-shirt, which, come on guys, Mario Kart is the jam, one of my favorite games ever. So, either try out Loot Crate, the standard Loot Crate box, the Loot Crate DX box if you want bigger, better, more, or the Lootwear box if you want to go for a little bit different and get the Sonic stuff, the Transformers stuff, and the Mario Kart stuff. You have until the 19th of this month at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe to get this month's box. So head over to lootcrate.com/TWA and use the code TWA in the coupon box for any new subscription to get $3 off. All right, guys, let's kick off the second half of the game.
Round four, question one. Your category is in music.
Music.
You do it so much better than I do. Okay. I want you to name the song that has the following lyrics. For two extra points, name the artist. And the quote is, I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe it's all part of a plan. Well, I'll just keep on making the same mistakes, hoping that you'll understand.
I'm trying to write this down. That's a lot. You're going to have to repeat it like a bunch of times.
Not a problem. The first part is, I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe it's all part of a plan. Well, I'll keep on making the same mistakes, hoping that you'll understand.
I know the song and I'm blanking on the title. I even know who sings it.
Hang on to that.
Can you hum it for me?
No. Don't.
Nope.
Well done, Jonathan. I said no, and I was like, crap, shut up, Chris. If Jonathan could talk her into it, go for it. That would be fun.
Hold on one second. I'm going to take this earpiece out because you guys, I can't sing in my head when you guys are in my head. So wave at me if you're talking to me.
Okay.
We're in her head.
And don't talk about me.
Too late.
I'm humming a song, but it's not the right one. I'm hoping it'll throw Jonathan off.
In your head.
Mm-hmm. Projecting it.
I want so desperately to look at my iPhone right now.
Jonathan's now taking off his headset to try to tune us out.
I don't even have a hint of a tune yet. He gave us a lot of the lyric, too. I mean, he gave us a whole freaking verse.
He did.
Or stanza.
Yeah.
My problem is that the lyrics remind me of some other songs, like the... She moves in mysterious
That's a song
ways.
I've been singing.
Yes.
You two are stuck in
And
the
then there's another Aerosmith song, I think, where they talk about maybe it's just part of some old master plan or something like that. And that you have part of a plan, but it's not master plan, so that's not it. But those two things are sticking me in a place where I can't come up with the answer. Mm.
Carmella, I'm totally have it.
Okay, I'm going to trust my teammates, so write it down. You have it written down?
It's written down.
Okay.
You're locked in.
And you got the song and the artist, so you can get the bonus, possibly?
Correct.
Okay, Jonathan, talk it out.
Hating my life at the moment. I'm thinking...
Good, because I'm still singing She Moves in Mysterious Ways.
Thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. No, it's Hootie and the Blowfish that does the master plan lyric.
Hootie.
Maybe it's just part of some old master plan.
Thanks, Darius.
Yes. That was the worst Darius Rucker impression ever.
Well, I didn't know how the tune went at the moment, so I couldn't actually sing it. Maybe it's all just part of a plan. And then I got to think about what kind of songs Chris listens to. So immediately I thought of like U2. Could be Jimmy Buffett. I got nothing. I'm going to say Last Dance with Mary Jane by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Okay. Kate, what's your answer?
So I can even sing this one. I love this song.
Please.
People fall in love in mysterious ways.
Oh, I do know
Maybe
this song.
It's all part of a plan. Mm. Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud.
Oh, Thinking Out Loud. It's your stupid wedding song.
Also known as the song that my wife and I danced to at my wedding. It is Thinking Out Loud
and
by
you
Ed
were
Sheeran.
At the wedding.
I was the person playing the song.
That is absolutely correct, Kate.
He's my third favorite British ginger.
Oh, he's third favorite. Wow.
The other two are Fred and George Weasley.
Actually, Oliver and James Phelps are not ginger. No. They dyed their hair for the...
I'm saying the characters, not the people.
So, well done, Kate. That is absolutely correct. And Jonathan is beside himself. I think the only time I've seen him this beside himself was your baseball question. Oh.
He hasn't gotten up yet.
It's not fair.
Actually, technically, it wasn't fair for those two.
When she started singing, I was still lost. I wasn't even there by the end of it. I was like, is this like some Duncan Sheik song or Eagle Eye Cherry or what is this?
So,
wow.
Okay. 12 points for us.
All right. So your second question in the fourth round, the category is military.
Woo!
Your question is, what was the first U.S. military academy to admit women? What was the first U.S. military academy to admit women?
Admit they exist, or...
No, admit into their hallowed halls.
And we're talking about U.S. military?
Yes, U.S. military academy.
As a female military academy graduate, I feel like I should know this.
And by the way, I had no idea who he was bringing on the show today, or probably wouldn't have asked a question around this.
I'm just going to take my multiple choice guess. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, ladies.
All right, so Navy and Marines would share one academy, and that's the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You have West Point, and then you have the Air Force Academy.
There are actually two others that are considered military academies, the Coast Guard and the Merchant Marine.
Okay.
I know that the Air Force Academy admitted women in 1980. I know that the Army would have been later than that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure West Point was the latest one.
And I think the Navy, I want to say the Navy was also later. The phrasing of Jonathan's question and the way that Chris answered it almost makes me wonder if it's Coast Guard or Merchant Marine. But I'm to the point where I know too much and I could be completely overthinking it.
Because once upon a time, I did want to go to the Air Force Academy, so I did a lot of research about the Air Force Academy. So I'm leaning more towards Air Force Academy.
Okay, with 1980, the 80s, the ladies of 80.
The 80s ladies.
Let's do it.
All right, Air Force Academy.
I hope it's my alma mater.
Jonathan.
I said the Naval Academy.
The answer is, in 1976, the United States Coast Guard Academy.
Oh.
And who founded the Coast Guard? Alexander Hamilton.
Yes.
Which will tell you why I asked the question.
So basically what we're saying is that we have to dig deep into your psyche to figure out the answer to these.
You didn't realize that? I knew this about Chris when he was a contestant.
And if I wasn't worried about overthinking, I totally would have said Coast Guard.
Wow.
That question.
And also, I believe they're the first military academy also to have a female commandant or superintendent, I think is what they call it, but the one that's in charge of the academy.
Wasn't Commandant Lessard, was it?
No, it was not Commandant
Lessard.
We are very, very
happy.
Awesome.
Well, they have both a commandant and a superintendent.
Oh, okay. Question three and round four is in sports. What modern sports ancestors were also called town ball and rounders? What modern sports ancestors are also known as town ball and rounders?
I'm locked in.
Okay. Ladies?
I'm thinking baseball.
Yeah, because that's really the only thing I can think of that makes sense would be baseball.
Yeah, like rounding the bases.
Mm-hmm. So town ball is a weird name for something, but...
I mean, so is stick ball.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a stick involved.
Stick and a ball.
So you want to go with baseball?
Yeah, let's go with baseball.
All right, so we're going to say baseball.
Mr. Oaks?
It was either cricket or baseball. I went with baseball.
The answer is baseball. Correct.
Hooray.
I'm so glad I didn't overthink that.
The answer is frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee.
Frisbee golf.
I'm so glad I didn't overthink the military academy question.
Score going into round five. Ladies have 84. Jonathan has 68.
Oof. All right. So question one in round five, the category is history.
History.
The Charge of the Light Brigade was a battle fought during which war?
I've heard this in the past. I've looked this up in the past, and it has escaped my memory.
Oh, no.
We studied this poem in literature class because, military academy.
Ours is not to reason why. Ours is about to do and die.
Think of the war.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
We'll make Jonathan sweat it out first.
All right, I'm going to write down it's got to be a wrong answer, but doggone it, these two things are associated in my head, and I think it's wrong. I don't know why it can't even be right. I haven't written it down yet. I'm so, so
upset.
It can't be.
It can't be.
I believe she's picking on you.
I don't know why.
Mm.
It's fun.
Educational.
No, there's no way that's right. I'm not going with that. I've written it down and I'm still not locking
out of it. He talked himself out of it.
Not locking that in. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, ladies.
So it's a poem, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very famous poem at that.
So it means it must be an older war.
Well, I'm leaning towards World War I only because we had a whole unit on poetry written in World War I. But that doesn't necessarily make sense, although World War I was the war that kind of clashed traditional warfare with modern warfare.
It's true, it did.
So it's no later than World War I.
Okay.
That's what's sticking out. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts? Have you ever heard of the Charge of the Light Brigade?
I feel like I should have at some point. Did they have actual lights? Is that why they were the Light Brigade?
No, it's the light. It's like the Light Armor Brigade.
That does kind of sound World War I.
It isn't even about an American. It's not an American or European war. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's not American.
Okay.
Now I'm thinking like Europeans in Africa and stuff like that. It's a really depressing poem. I don't recommend it.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially if you're in the military.
Yeah, true story. I think the moral of the story is they all die. I've got nothing other than what I've said out loud so far. So
it's more than what I got.
Do you want to go with World War One? It feels wrong. I feel like it's something more specific to Europe. I just keep circling back to World War One because of that damn unit in my English class.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's just go with World War One.
Okay, World War One.
Okay, Jonathan?
So Charge of the Light Brigade was written by Tennyson.
Ah, crap.
I feel like Tennyson was 1800s, maybe early 1800s, maybe late 1700s. The one in my head that I was struggling with was the Boer War. And that I started there. And I ended up scratching it out because I didn't think Chris would give us that question if the answer was the Boer War. And I really wasn't 100% sure with it. I always thought the Light Brigade, and this is my own little mental vision of it, I always pictured the Light Brigade as horses and light armor, but almost medieval. And so it didn't fit with the early 1800s for me. And I believe that's when the Boer War was. So I went back a little bit further into the 1700s and I said the 30 Years' War.
Okay. The poem by Lord Alfred Tennyson was in 1854, and the war was the Crimean War.
The Crimean War. That's right.
Oh, I do know that poem.
I gave you a quote from it a minute ago.
No, but I was now putting it in context of the Crimean War. I do know that poem.
You know what? Like I said, I've heard that answer multiple times and just cannot get it to stick.
All right, so your second question in the fifth round is in science. Kate?
I said it, but you guys can't hear me. There's like some kind of – it blocks me out when you guys are talking.
Okay.
Well, we didn't hear it, so say it now.
Science.
There you go.
I like the uptick.
All right. What was the first man-made element?
The car?
No.
Was it Honda?
All right. Man-made element.
The first man-made element.
I don't know.
We need Brianna.
We do. All right. I'm locked in. Unforgettable.
That's what you are. I have no idea.
I'm just – the only man-made elements I can think of are those really complicated ones that pop out of the table.
Oh,
and
like the ones that are like
the first ones.
UUQ or something like that?
Yeah.
Do you think radium or radon? No, radon was probably not man-made. But like curium or something like that?
Ooh, curium. Wasn't that named for Madame Curie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
It would. I'm just trying to remember how they discovered it. If they actually just – because after a certain point, they just started like, oh, you know, if we keep doing this, we'll eventually make something new.
Let's just mash electrons and protons together and see what comes out.
And that's how we started filling in that table.
And it works.
Yeah.
Curium. Let's just...
Curium.
Yeah.
All right. Final answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jonathan?
Okay. I'm not at all confident, but I feel like uranium is a normally occurring element. But for some reason, I feel like they might have made plutonium by taking uranium and doing stuff to it. So I said plutonium.
Okay. It was Doc Brown's favorite, plutonium.
Oh, yeah!
And by the way, for those of you out there that are listening to the show, I got this from periodic.gov, which is the government website that actually talks about the elements. I will say there's going to be a few people that might say it's technetium.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. T-E-C-H-N-E-T-I-U-M. But
technetium?
Technetium. But according to the government, it is plutonium.
I wasn't sure about that. That was kind of like a shot in the dark there.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of that. I wanted to clarify that.
Actually,
because
that was really good. Good job.
So, okay. Third question in the fifth round is in literature.
Literature.
We don't need no literature.
Who wrote the 1855 poem, The Song of Hiawatha?
The Charge of the Light Brigade.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So who wrote the 1855 poem, The Song of Hiawatha?
I'm locked in.
Okay. Ladies, do you wish to talk about it? Because Carmela looks like she's writing down feverishly.
I'm writing down the name of the poem.
Ah, gotcha.
Well, Hiawatha wasn't a Mohican, so that about tops out my knowledge of literature in this area.
So it wasn't Cooper.
I mean, would have to be an American author. I can narrow it down there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of American poets.
I can't even think of someone to say, let's just put this person.
So are you crying uncle?
I don't know. Jonathan looks so confident over there. He's like, that's because I am.
Finally. It's rare lately that I've been confident about an answer.
This is not our round.
No, it's not. Do you want to say World War One?
Yeah, let's just say World War
I. I think we're going to say World War One.
Okay. Final answer?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
You didn't even guess Tennyson. You could have guessed Tennyson.
The Crimean War.
All right. Jonathan, can you take them to school?
Longfellow.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is correct.
Yeah.
He's a poet, and he don't know it, but his feet show it because they're Longfellows.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, he gets to say that all the time.
What do you think about that, Joey? All right. So, Jonathan, what's the score update?
Huge round. Jonathan surges into the lead. It is 88-84.
All right.
Dang it.
So, round six, question one category is geography. Your question is, what is North Korea's capital city?
Well, damn.
I got this.
You want to
write it down?
I've written it down.
Okay.
Carmel, you trust her?
I trust her.
All right, Jonathan, talk it out.
So, Seoul is South Korea. I can't remember what Vietnam's are. I feel like I might be about to name Vietnam's capital, but this is the one that's coming to my head. I'm saying Pyongyang.
Okay.
It is Pyongyang.
Yeah!
Your question two in round six category is music.
Music.
All right, music. Here we go.
Who composed The Ride of the Valkyries?
Locked in.
Did you tailor these questions specific for Jonathan?
I really did not intend to.
No, I'm just...
No, this is like regular... We finally hit a few standard trivia questions. And I'm nice. Like, thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
These aren't like the made-up ones, or not made-up, but these aren't like the creative ones. These are like the, hey, if you look in a book of trivia questions, these are the kind of ones you're going to see questions.
Okay. Sorry.
Don't apologize. I've been waiting for these. You kidding me? These are the ones I know.
These are my jam.
That's right. This is what I'm good at. Also, I know why you asked this question, too.
Daniel Bryant?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you have anything, Carmela?
No.
Wow. Sorry.
Man. I'm broken.
They were broken.
My
guess would be they were probably German. I feel like most of the composers are German these days. Yeah. Or back then.
Or Austrian. So we could say something like Mozart, Bach.
Or Beethoven.
Do you know what the chicken's favorite composer was?
Bach.
I don't have anything. My dog is barking at me like she has something to tell me.
We know. Trust me.
Mozart. Well, crap. Now I can't get Mozart out of my head. You want to say World War One?
We should say Mozart. That's at least a composer.
We're going to say Mozart.
Okay. Jonathan? So
are you guys familiar with the song, with the tune?
Maybe.
No.
Let me do a piece of the tune for you and see if it gives you the right answer.
I do know that.
It is noted Nazi sympathizer Wagner.
Ah, it is Wagner.
Yep, Richard Wagner.
He was German.
Correct. And he did not love David Hasselhoff.
Oh, he might have.
Yeah. Okay, so your third question, in the sixth round is the category is in TV.
Television.
What baseball team cap did Tom Selleck wear in the TV show Magnum P.I.?
Oh, God.
Really?
I didn't watch Magnum P.I. I don't know.
I'm way too young for that show.
I love that show. Dang it.
He wore Hawaiian shirts. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay.
So,
ladies?
It would not surprise me if it was a Chicago Cubs cap.
That was going to be my guess only because I'm a huge Cubs fan.
Go Cubs.
So is Chris. And for some reason, I can see a C on it.
Let's just go with Cubs. I'm cool with it.
Cubs. We're going to say it's a Cubs cap.
Okay. Jonathan.
I said LA Dodgers.
It did not have a C. However, it had a D on it. The Detroit Tigers.
It was Detroit. That's right.
Yes.
So. Ah.
Darn.
All right.
I thought I had you figured out, Hollister.
All right. Going into the final round, Jonathan is leading 108 to 94.
Okay. So we're actually going to try something new in this game, Jonathan and Carmella and Kate. Carmella and Kate, since you guys are now behind, I'm actually going to give you two categories for the final round, and then you guys will decide which category I'm going to ask the question on.
It's not space, is it?
It is not space, the final frontier.
I was about to punch you.
Okay,
space.
Fair enough. You can either choose movies, or you can choose the first four presidents.
I can put the first four presidents in order. I just want you to know that.
Do you want to try movies?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right. I've got my number.
Okay. Ladies.
Our points are locked in.
Okay. So again, this category is movies, and this was a listener-submitted question.
Who's the listener?
The listener is Danny Wilson.
Thanks, Danny.
Is Danny a TWA member?
Danny is a lieutenant, if I'm not mistaken, and he has also been very active recently. He did a review. He's been reaching out to me. So thank you, Danny. We appreciate you, buddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, Danny. All right. In 2007, the American Film Institute re-released their top 100 movies of all time.
No.
I'm going to give you four movies in the top 10. I want you to put an order from highest rank to lowest rank. Highest being number one and the lowest being number 10. Okay.
Do you have a dartboard handy?
The four movies are Gone with the Wind, Schindler's List, Casablanca, and finally, Citizen Kane. Good luck.
What, Road Trip's not on here?
No, Euro Trip, man. Euro Trip's where it's at.
All right, I'm locked in.
You look less confident about this one.
I told you, man. I'm throwing darts.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I'm pretty sure Citizen Kane would probably be at the top, because everybody was like, oh, Citizen Kane's the best, man.
I put it at the bottom.
Really?
Because Gone with the Wind, I'm pretty sure, was for a long time the highest grossing movie of all time. It was, super popular. I'm pretty sure that is, one of the most famous movies of all time. I'm pretty sure Gone with the Wind is at the top.
Okay. So what would you put next?
I had Casablanca next, but Citizen Kane potentially could go there as well.
What do you think is last?
I think Citizen Kane. I would put Citizen Kane last.
You would put Citizen Kane last. Okay, so would you put Schindler's List under Casablanca or over it?
Under. Mostly because I know that Chris doesn't like it when the question is in order of the answer.
Wow.
We are dissecting
you. She listens to the show.
So you want to say
Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, Schindler's List, Citizen Kane.
So basically switching the middle two from how he gave it to us.
Yes, but if you feel very passionately about Citizen Kane, I could potentially switch it for Schindler's.
So put Schindler's on the bottom.
Because think about movies that people quote. People say, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Monty Python, Search for the Holy Grail, number one, with a bullet. Princess Bride, number two.
Number three, Spaceball.
Spaceball's number three. Blazing Saddles, number four.
Mm. Pretty much anything by Mel Brooks.
We've literally just named my top four movies, by the way.
Anyway, people say, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. People say, here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, kid.
I think those are the more popular two.
Tomorrow's Another Day.
It's a huge epic that people, it's generally on critics' lists of, this is a movie you have to see.
Yeah. But everybody feels that way about Citizen Kane as well.
But I think Citizen Kane is more of a viewer's favorite than a critic's favorite. Like, it's good, but it's not, or it's more of a critic's favorite than a viewer's favorite. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily something that, like, I don't know. I don't ever hear anyone talk about Citizen Kane.
Oh, should hang out with Chris's uncle more.
Well, he saw it in his initial release in theaters, too.
That ain't right, dude. That ain't right at all.
You're so mean to Chip.
Oh, he would laugh.
He would laugh.
He would laugh.
I mean, I think I hear about the Manchurian Candidate more often than I hear about Citizen Kane.
So, Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, Schindler's List, Citizen Kane?
Yes.
Okay, that's how we'll give it.
Okay. Jonathan?
I'm pretty certain that in the initial version of this list, before it was updated, Citizen Kane was the number one movie. I don't think that changed too much. I don't think that the critics in AFI who worked through this went back and said, no, actually, we were wrong the first time. Gone with the Wind's better now. Or, what was the other? Casablanca's better now. Because they were all out for plenty of time for them to make that decision. Schindler's List is the only one that had the opportunity to top it, I think. And I don't think it did. So my number one was Citizen Kane. I feel like Casablanca was number three-ish on the list. So I said Citizen Kane, Casablanca, and then the other two were a toss-up for me. I went Gone with the Wind, Schindler's List. So my order was Citizen Kane, Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, Schindler's List.
Okay. So number one on the list, Citizen Kane.
Damn.
Number three, Casablanca. Number six, Gone with the Wind. Number eight, Schindler's List.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. So, even got it right.
Congratulations, Jonathan. Man, a movie's question you got right. A movie's final question that you got right.
A movie's final question. I even got the numbering on the first two of them.
You really did. And I think you didn't say six for Gone with the Wind. I thought you were close.
No, I was. Oh, you said, I didn't say a number.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that felt good.
My computer is about to die.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, is it a laptop?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much time do you think it has?
Oh, no.
And it's gone. I'm going to leave that in. That's hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, Kate has left the building.
But I wanted to talk about this, is that she was talking about sayings. You said it. Rosebud is
very famous. But you know what I needed? I needed more thunder.
Oh, you did need more thunder, for sure.
You needed more thunder. Because you knew Citizen Kane was up there. The critics, that's a critics movie.
It is a critics
movie.
There she
is. She's back. Hey, you're back!
Oh, she's on a phone now.
Yep. iPhones are amazing.
We were laughing because as soon as you were talking about it, it's like, and she's frozen. She gone. The final score.
Oh, yeah. What was y'all's wagers? Wagers.
Wagers? Yeah. All wagers?
I wagered 13. You knew me right there. Mm-hmm. 13 was the obvious bet for me. So I finished with 121.
Okay.
And what did you guys wager?
We had bet 15, enough to cover if you bet zero.
So that puts you at 79.
Yep.
121 to 79.
You know what? Respectable scores. Those are really good.
It's a basketball game. But you know what else it was?
Another win for Jonathan.
It's been a long time, baby. It's been a long
time. You're feeling pretty darn good about yourself, aren't you?
I am, I gotta say. All right, so our official Warhead of the Week this week, Kate Suddy, former member of the U.S. military. Was it the Air Force you were a part of, Kate?
I was.
Captain in the reserves right now.
Correct.
Woohoo!
Outstanding.
Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate your service.
It's been kind of fun for me. So.
Awesome. And thanks so much for coming on the show. Do you guys want to read a couple of reviews?
Yeah, it's up to you, my
brother. Oh, we have more?
We do.
Last time I was here, we had run out.
We are up to 91 now.
Ooh.
Whoa!
We only need nine more to get to 100.
Nine more. I know there's more than nine
for
people.
For the hike to 100.
Just in the last maybe month, we've added what feels like 10% to our listenership.
Awesomeness.
Cool. We've at least 10 to 15% growth in the last month. So I know there's more than nine people out there who haven't done a review. I'm looking at you.
And then
not you. You. Yes. Yes. Go do a review.
Yeah, and, Rambo, do a review.
That's right.
And nine more before I do the dance for everybody that we record.
That's right. All right. So we have a new review by Brian in Cary, North Carolina. Brian says, great show. I love the show and listen to it regularly on my weekly long runs. So he's exercising while listening to us.
And he's not playing Pokemon Go.
Well, we don't know that.
What do you got?
Whatever. I play Pokemon Go while I run.
Yeah.
See, I'm right there. Why would I run if I wasn't playing Pokemon Go? That's what I'm saying.
Great way to hatch an egg.
That's right. So Brian also says, I usually can answer the history, geography, science questions, but everything else is a challenge for me. The warming up Chris question and final questions are always a lot of fun. Highly recommend the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. We have a new review by Adam C. Fink. Adam says, my favorite trivia podcast. I listen to several trivia podcasts, and Trivial Warfare is by far the best. I look forward to a new episode every week. The questions are challenging, but not impossibly difficult. Listening to the host and guest try and figure out the answer is always entertaining. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. Man.
And the last one I'm going to read today by Lucas Clausen. Oh, wow. He says, a trivia blessing.
Ooh.
That's his title.
Wow.
Lucas says, finding this podcast has reignited my passion of random knowledge and trivia. Chris, Jonathan, and all the various hosts and guests are all incredibly professional. I'd just like to stop there for a second.
I was going to say, has he really listened to our show?
Did Kate just choke there when she bit back that laugh?
That's a yes.
And the questions are just the right level of hard enough to make you think, but easy enough that you play along and get a reasonable amount right. If you love trivia, this show is trivial in name only, and you will love Trivial Warfare.
Nice.
Thank you very much, Lucas.
That needs to be our new tagline. We're trivial and name only. Because we don't have enough taglines in the show.
Love that. All right, before we go, I do want to announce a few Patreon promotions. First, we have a new Captain Andrew Swift. Thank you so much, Andrew. You are a new $10 donator. I appreciate you very much. Next up is Tara Whittle. Tara is another new captain, $10 a month. Thank you, Tara. I truly, truly appreciate you. And last but certainly not least, we have a new major. That's right. This just came in today, a few hours before I started recording. This is Matthew Laird, new major in the Trivial Warfare Army. Thank you so much, Matthew. You and others like you are the people who make this show work, and I truly, truly appreciate you. Thank you to everybody who's making donations, everybody who's a member of the Trivial Warfare Army. Really appreciate you guys. Remember, if you have not sent me your picture, or if you've sent me your picture and I haven't put it up, please reach out to me at jonathan@trivialwarfare.com. That's jonathan@trivialwarfare.com. And send me your picture so I can update the website. If you haven't sent it, I'm not plucking them off of Facebook, so you have to send me what you want. All right, Chris, so that wraps us up. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Well, Kate, thank you so very much. We had a great time with you today.
Thanks, Kate.
Good job,
Kate. I had fun. I feel like we did all right.
Yeah, we did great.
I thought you did just fine.
Didn't embarrass ourselves.
So, but thank you very much. Jonathan, good win.
Thank you.
Carmella, you'll get him next time.
Next time. Gotcha.
So, if you need to get a hold of Jonathan, you could do that by emailing him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com.
With an L.
We had a couple really awesome listener-submitted questions today. If you have a couple, if you have any of those, send it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And until next time, that's Kate, that's Jonathan, that's Carmel, and this is Chris, and this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
You like how he puts the emphasis on the "this is Chris" part of that? This is Chris.
I messed up this time around because normally I go, "This is Trivial Warfare," and I just did it one sentence too soon.
You forgot yourself.
I really did.
Too many this is.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
You have a pretty sizable lead just for the sake of moving this forward. We keep going through this cycle of thinking about it. Do you think World War I? Yeah, I think probably that's what we're going to go with. More thinking. Do you think World War It's like the third time around.
You do this, but you do it all in your head.
It's much faster that way.
No. Okay.
What do you think, Carmella? World War One? I beat you to it.
You're such a d-